it's Wednesday, March 20th, and welcome to episode 312 of Fault Lines, the National Security Institute's podcast that gets you quickly up to speed three times a week on the national security and foreign policy debates shaking up America. I'm NSI Senior Fellow Morgan Vigna, and I'm joined today by Deputy NSI Executive Director Jessica Jones, NSI Policy Director John Lipsey, and our lovely returning guest, Bishop Garrison. Today, we are discussing Turkey's local elections scheduled for March 31st. These elections are critical to President Erdogan's political future. If his Justice and Development Party, or AK Party, wins, there are expectations that he may pursue yet another constitutional reform. Erdogan has led Turkey for the past two decades, first as prime minister and as president since 2014. He, of course, has been able to stay in power because he's been a master at ramming through constitutional changes. Now, when it comes to the local elections, Erdogan is actively campaigning to promote the AK Party's mayoral candidates to win the country's big cities. Well, this is a notable development as the AK Party took a hit in 2019 when it lost Istanbul, Ankara, and Izmir. A win for the AKP in the local and provincial levels of government would also allow the party to control local grant construction permits, control zoning, and provide welfare services to party supporters and further solidify Erdogan's base. Now, in the lead up to the elections, Erdogan's rhetoric has gotten heated on the campaign trail, particularly when it comes to the Israel-Hamas war in Gaza. On Saturday, Erdogan said that he firmly backs Hamas, which notably is designated as a terror organization by the United States, Israel, UK, European Union, and many of our other friends and allies. He also compared Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu to Hitler. Turkey has also provided financial and logistical support to Hamas and has served as host to senior Hamas leadership. Jessica, turning to you first, what do you make of this and how concerning should this be for the United States?
First, I love that we're talking about a local election. We talk a lot here about national elections. We track them throughout the year. But just like we know here in the U.S., local elections can tell us so much about the average voter, what they're thinking about popular support for national candidates, like how they turn out. And so I think it's really interesting what will happen and how we track it. And I say this as someone who doesn't vote locally, that this has shamed me into not taking my D.C. like constituency seriously. And so I might actually get to the polls this year. So thank you for putting this before us. You know, I think this is just this latest example. We've talked about it a lot on the show about Turkey's ability to, you know, be one of these new middle powers, swing states, if we want to use an apt term for this episode, where they're really able to wield a more transactional foreign policy that they see to their advantage, that they can align with the US and our allies and partners when they want to. They can get approval for F-16s. They can woohoo approve Sweden and we can all cheer for these little triumphs, but in the long, but they can also not side with us. You know, we can see to your point about the comments about Hamas, and there's really no repercussions that we can wield on them or leverage that we have when it comes to some of these big issues. Hopefully though, in the long run, you know, it's hard to picture a NATO without Turkey, them seeing a security structure that's more to their benefit than the security that they receive from NATO. But as the world changes, you know, that might be a topic for a future episode.
Yeah. So, John, is all of Erdogan's rhetoric just election bluster? I mean, Turkey is a NATO ally and they have an autocrat in power who's actively supporting terrorism. Make it make sense for us.
Well, no, I think you described it accurately. Look, because Erdogan's politics is his base of support is you know, as consistent, he's been pretty consistent for a number of years now, in where he sees he needs to align himself, at least rhetorically, within the region, and, you know, sort of generally in support of the Arab street. And I think, you know, in many respects, that causes him to be led around by the nose a bit by what Iran is up to, has just much more influence over those events that are going to be driving just general public concern. And so I think that's, you know, what we're seeing occur now. Obviously, you know, he is in fact providing real safe haven to particularly like the financial arm of Hamas and the like. So real concerns there, but also there's going to be a bit of over the top on the rhetoric side that we've seen consistently, and I think will continue. I don't think that I do have concerns that Erdogan could, you know, continue down the path of further authoritarianism, but I don't necessarily think that that portends dramatic change in Turkey's foreign policy or the relationship with the United States that Jessica, you know, described well, the balancing act that that Turkey plays there. You know, I am concerned about, as we think about trying to come to resolution over the war in Gaza and finding some sort of stability there. I do have concern that Turkey may find, you know, Erdogan is just may find himself not able to really be constructive toward finding a solution there that, you know, maybe Arab states like Saudi Arabia and UAE would like to see, or where they might like to provide an on the ground, you know, productive presence, even, or that's certainly what the U.S. administration hopes for. I think, you know, Erdogan's politics is going to make that, is going to be a big fly in the ointment for finding a solution there.
Yeah. So, Bishop, what is the Biden administration's role in this, and how should they be responding?
Yeah, as you saw, my young intern ran in here, and he had really strong opinions about it. But I mean, look,
they're working early this morning.
Yeah, right. Yeah, he's working hard. He's working hard, driving crazy. At the end of the day, I think our colleagues here, Jessica and John, have already kind of hit the nail on the head on a lot of this stuff. The Biden administration needs to continue to ensure that America is a strong global leader. It has long been and has always been. We need Turkey to be a thoughtful, rational actor in all of this. As we said, it's already problematic that they're continuing to recognize the leadership loss. They're continuing to kind of be, as I think John just said, a fly in ointment a bit in a lot of these issues, particularly around Israel-Palestine. We're concerned about how their relationship with Russia is going to continue to grow. We know that Erdogan truly appreciates what he believes to be strong men. Similarly, we've seen some politicians here in the U.S. Kind of respond in the same way. So there's concerns there about how he sees Russia and Putin. We know that they slow rolled the push for Sweden to join NATO previously. They see that they have some leverage in these issues. So we have to continue to watch this. At the end of the day, all politics are local, and it's really interesting to see even that kind of that issue, that idea, that axiom really resonate even on a global stage like this. We're talking about a set of local elections in Turkey that could really form and create a framework for at least in the short to midterm the future of geopolitical community. I mean, that is a big thing. So trying to get a handle on this and understanding how these elections may affect the country internally really will show us how it may affect our relationships 5, 10, 15 years from now. We should have some concerns, and we should be ready to continue to analyze the situation and watch it closely. But I think at the end of the day, they're going to do what's in their best interest. And a lot of the more draconian pushes or a lot of this kind of the crazier things on the fringes is not going to work in their best interest in the long term. They need a strong relationship with the U.S. and its allies in the same way that they want to have strength domestically, internally in their country. We're going to continue to watch that play out.
Great. Well, that's a wrap. Thanks to Devlin Burning, Claude Jennings, and the NSI staff for their help in producing today's episode. Join us again on Friday, March 22nd, for the next episode of Fault Lines. Fault Lines is now on YouTube, so check out our smiling faces on our channel for a video of today's episode. If you like what you heard, be sure to rate, review, and subscribe.